This is the third message of our series of messages on issues of our time. On the first week, we spoke about what does God say about abortion? God says it's a silent Holocaust, and all God's people said. God is not for abortion under any circumstances. Thank you very much. Amen. He called Isaiah and Jeremiah out of the womb. Amen. Be awful tough, Brother Becker, to do that if they were aborted. Amen. Last week we spoke on the subject of what does God say about alcohol? He says it's straight out of hell. That's what it is. This message this week will probably be the most inflammatory and difficult message in this series. I will do my best to attempt to not be overly graphic. However, I must, as a preacher of the Word of God, say some things that of nature regarding this subject are distasteful. Again, it is not our aim or goal to be hurtful, cruel, crude, or rude. We are commanded, according to Ephesians 4:15, to be speaking the truth in love, and all God's people said. As I told a young man recently who subscribes to the lifestyle that we will speak of today, there is much visceral language on both sides. I try to use logic, medical evidence, the scriptures, but in the end, if I cannot persuade you, I will not insult you. And that ought to be our mantra, folks. Amen. There's a group out of Topeka, Kansas called the Westboro Baptist Church. I first learned about them while I was a student at Midwestern Baptist College. They are hyper-Calvinist in doctrine. That is, they believe that God created some people and predestined them to go to hell no matter what they do. By the way, if you follow Calvinism to its end logic, there must be millions and billions, yea, of babies in hell. Because they've been predestined that way. By the way, it's false. Predestination has nothing to do. Heaven or hell is a choice that we make, whether to trust Jesus or not. You get a choice. God gives you a choice. I heard somebody say one time, how do you define election? And he said, God votes for you, devil votes against you, it's up to you to break the tie. That's election, amen? Someone said, am I elect? Well, if you're a whosoever will, you're elect, amen? Whoever wants to, but they believe that God has predestined some to go to hell, and their website says this all about them. Let me, and again, please, I'm quoting. Westboro Baptist Church opposing the homosexual lifestyle of soul-damning, nation-destroying filth, we display large, colorful signs containing Bible words and sentiments, including, hang on, folks, God hates fags. Fags hate God. AIDS cures fags. Thank God for AIDS. Fags burn in hell. Fags are nature's freaks. God gave fags up. No special laws for fags. Fags doom nations. Now listen to this, folks. This isn't even the inflammatory stuff. Thank God for dead soldiers. Fag troops. God blew up the troops. God hates America. America is doomed. The world is doomed. By the way, they're not interested in telling people how they can be saved. They're glory seekers. That's what they are. They're glory seekers. They pretend like they're Jeremiah of old crying out in the wilderness. I promise you, Jeremiah was filled with love for his people and love for his country, and there's none of that with these people. They're glory seekers. Their website, again, quoting off their website, 5,904 soldiers that God has killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. 45,106 pickets conducted by Westboro Baptist Church. 831 cities that have been visited by Westboro Baptist Church. 1,023 weeks that Westboro Baptist Church has held daily pickets on the mean streets of doomed America. 0 nanoseconds of sleep that Westboro Baptist Church loses over your opinions and feelings. Strange, they do not salute, but rather spiritually spit on those who make the ultimate sacrifice to guarantee them the freedom of religion. They're glory seekers, folks. They protest the funerals of dead American soldiers. They're devoid of compassion for a lost world. And I promise you, 2 Samuel 12:14 says they give the enemies of God great occasion to blaspheme. These people give God, His people, and His church a bad name. And I want to just tell you this. I, as the pastor of Loomis Park Baptist Church of Jackson, Michigan, can I say emphatically that we as a church are not linked, related to, or have anything to do with the Westboro Baptist Church. Nothing. We do not share their doctrine. We do not share their discourse. And we definitely do not share their demeanor. It would seem that their intention is simply to wound. Listen, I understand it's true that a preacher of a church must speak the truth of God's Word and use biblical terms that many times offend sinners, whether anyone listens or not, but it must be done in love. It must be done. Not with hate in the voice, but Brother Jenkins, with a tear in the eye. Amen? Our intent is not simply to wound, but to wound that we may heal. With all that said, we must cry out against sin, no matter how sacred the cow of society. Like John the Baptist of old, when he came up to Herod and said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." We have to cry out. We have to call sin, sin, despite what anyone thinks. However, it is our conviction that one does not have to be cantankerous or crude to be compassionate and correct. I'll give you facts. I'll use biblical words. I do not use, nor should you use, words like fag, faggot, queer, dyke, homo, queer bait, fruitcake. You shouldn't use those words. It's wrong. You sink to the level of your enemy when you use words like that. Amen. It's like don't come up to me and say Jesum Crow. You know what that is? It's a Christian cuss word. You're thinking and you want to say in your heart what you just said. You just change your letters around a little bit. Don't use words like that. It's wrong. They may choose to call themselves these names and may call us everything but a child of God, but we must not sink down. By the way, can I tell you this? I will, however, use the Bible word. And the Bible word, if you have a King James Bible, is the word sodomite. That's the Bible word. By the way, you won't find that word in the NIV. You won't. You can look all day. It's not there. Why is that, Pastor? Because one of the translators was a sodomite and just thought that that word was a little too inflammatory. Listen, I don't do it with malice. I do it with a desire to be scriptural, a desire to lead one to repentance. I will endeavor before God to have the right stand, yes, but also the right spirit. A passive preacher is an oxymoron. Amen? You don't want a passive preacher. A moderate is somebody who refuses to take a side. Listen, I've taken a side. I'm on God's side. I'm on the Bible side. Amen? The title of our message today is simply Sodomites. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines a sodomite as an inhabitant of Sodom, or one guilty of sodomy. It is the title that comes from either a person's place of residence or their personal conduct, one or the other. The Uniform Code of Military Justice in our country, Section 925, Article 125, defines sodomy as this: any person subject who engages in unnatural carnal copulation with another person of the same or opposite sex or with an animal is guilty of sodomy. That's the way it's defined. I think that that will be changing by the recent ruling against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They'll have to change it. Because, by the way, sodomy in the military is still a court-martial offense. Court-martial. Gone. Let me give you point number one. The presence of the sodomites. The presence of the sodomites. Sodomites are as old as the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 6, when the Bible says, and God saw the wickedness of man, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and he flooded the earth. I'm here to tell you that sodomites were as old as that. The Bible tells us in Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Probably the Old Testament, the largest passage in the Old Testament that talks about the sodomites is in Genesis chapter 19. And we find the story of Lot. And we find two angels that come and they visit Lot, and he brings them into his house, and very, very soon he gets a knock on his door, Brother George. And it's the sodomites. And they say, hey, where are the men that came in to lodge with you this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Same word used when Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived. It was speaking of a perverse sexual intimacy that they wanted to commit with these men, the sodomites. If you read your Bible, you'll find in Deuteronomy 23:17, God condemned this activity among men. He said, there shall no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. 1 Kings 14:24 says, and there were sodomites in the land, and they did according to the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Over and over, 1 Kings 15:11, 1 Kings 22:46, over and over, 2 Kings 23:7, the negative connotation always follows sodomites. And they did that which was evil. They did that which was abominable. Sodomites. As long as there has been sin, there have been sodomites. Such behavior was practiced and condoned in ancient Greece, in ancient Rome. The effects of Judeo-Christian moral codes have limited this immoral conduct for almost 1,700 years, but I want to tell you this. In the last 50 years, sodomites have made inroads and gains that would make Grecian prostitutes look like Levitical priests. How they have moved in. The American Community Survey from the U.S. Census estimated 776,943 same-sex couples in a country as a whole, representing about 0.5% of the population. The presence of the sodomites. Let me give you the pleas of the sodomites. There's some pleas that they make. They will tell us that it's no different than a straight relationship. It's just an alternate lifestyle. Well, it's a lot different. God says in verses 26 and 27 of our text, look at it. What does God say about it? He says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the, what's the next word, church? Natural use of that which is against what? Nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. It's a lot different. It's really different. It's unnatural, unseemly, and ungodly. It's wrong. Again, I am trying to be cautious. But ladies and gentlemen, God made certain parts of our anatomy to perform certain functions. And your excretory system, it was designed to excrete waste. Amen? That's what God designed it for, not for a sodomite lifestyle. It's no different than a straight relationship. That's one of the pleas they make. It's nobody's business what two people do. This is not true. God, our designer and creator, has authority over all aspects of His creation. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He makes the rules, amen? And He has specifically forbidden sodomite behavior. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20:13. If a man lie with mankind, as he lie with a woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Disobedience of a clear command indicates rejection of God's authority. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They know it's wrong. They do it anyway. How about number three, as far as some pleas of a sodomite? It's nobody's fault. God made us this way. How many of you have heard that? May of 2000, the American Psychiatric Association issued a fact sheet stating that there are no replicated scientific studies supporting a specific biological etiology for homosexuality. What does that mean, Pastor? They're not born that way. And by the way, let me just say this. Even if they are born that way, there's something called restraining yourself. Amen? I mean, I was born a heterosexual. I confined myself to one woman. Amen. But no. They were born that way. Sodomites, like every other group that rebels against God, were not created that way. They were perverted by sin. It's no different than a straight relationship. It's nobody's business what two people do. It's nobody's fault. God made us this way. How about this one? It doesn't hurt anybody else. That is a lie from the pits of hell. It doesn't hurt anybody else. I think the testimony of a man named Gaten Dugas, one of the world's most notorious sodomites, puts this argument to rest. He was a flight attendant with Air Canada in the 70s and 80s. He claimed in 13 years to have 2,500 sexual partners. He traveled the entire world at little cost to himself and engaged in the sodomite lifestyle in places like Paris and London and Los Angeles and New York and San Francisco. And in 1980, when Dugas was told that he had contracted Kaposi sarcoma, horrible tumors and sores having to do with the herpes virus, it displays itself in lesions on the skin and mouth. They told him that he had it. His doctor told him he refused to stop having unprotected sexual intercourse. Claiming, listen to this, claiming, have we heard this before? That it was his body, he could do what he wanted with it. He allegedly informed some of his partners after the act that he had the gay cancer and now they had it too. It was originally called the gay cancer. Then it was given the acronym GRID, Gay-Related Immune Deficiency. Why is that, Pastor? Because everyone that was getting it was a sodomite. Everyone, initially. Everyone. And then it began to spread. And from that permissive attitude of it's not anybody's business and it doesn't hurt anybody else, we have today what is called AIDS. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome, and patient zero that Dugas was, since then has led to the deaths of more than 25 million people. In 2007, AIDS killed an estimated 2.1 people, including 330,000 children. Doesn't hurt anybody else, though. Huh? Doesn't hurt anybody else! Booey on that. That's garbage. That's a selfish, self-pleasing, self-debasing argument. You just want to do what you want to do, Mr. Dugas. Many will remember the names Ryan White. In 1984, the 13-year-old hemophiliac received a blood transfusion with tainted blood and died of AIDS. Many will remember probably the greatest black tennis player ever, Arthur Ashe. In 1983, he had a heart surgery, Brother Merrill, and he got some tainted blood. And he died of AIDS. Don't tell me it doesn't hurt anybody else. You have to come up with a new argument. It hurts people. Our actions always ripple. There's no man, none of us live it to himself and none of us die it to himself. Romans 14:7 says, what we do affects those around us. The presence of the sodomites, the pleas of the sodomites, the program of the sodomites. What's the program or the agenda of the sodomites? It's acceptance. Acceptance. You'll hear words like diversity and tolerance only because they're in the minority. It's trust me, ladies and gentlemen, tolerance means to tolerate. That's what it means. Tolerance. Listen, if someone is of an abhorrent behavior, I will tolerate them. This is America. Amen? If my neighbor is not of the same faith that I am, you know what? I don't believe like they do. I tolerate their faith, but I promise you, I don't accept their faith. That abhorrent lifestyle, I don't accept it. And neither should you. Amen? There's a difference between being kind and being accepting. They want us to accept their lifestyle. And I think very, very soon in this country, it will not be enough for us to simply tolerate them. They will demand acceptance. How do they go about this? Well, there's several avenues they use. The first avenue they use, I believe, is education. Or could we say re-education? The 10th principle of the Communist Manifesto is free education for all children. Why was it? Why was that a principle in communism? Control the young. Control the young, eventually control the country. Over and over in our country, we hear stories of outraged parents whose youngsters came home from school and told them stories of gay sex education. Sacramento, California, October 22nd, 2008. Some parents are shocked to find children are learning to be homosexual allies and will participate in coming out day at a public elementary school tomorrow, and they claim that the school failed to notify the parents. Boy, imagine that. One mother of a kindergartner. By the way, what does a kindergartner have to do learn about sex anyway? Amen. A kindergartner who attends Faith Ringgold School of Art and Science, a K-8 charter school in Hayward, California, she asked her 5-year-old daughter what she was learning in school. The little girl replied, "We're learning to be allies." The mother also said a gay straight alliance club meets regularly in the kindergarten classroom. According to the Pacific Justice Institute, Faith Ringgold opted not to inform the parents. The school is celebrating Gay and Lesbian History Month, and in the process of observing Ally Week. This school is scheduled to host discussions. Brad Dacus, president of Pacific Justice Institute, said opponents of California's proposed ban on same-sex marriage often say the measure would not have an effect on public schools, but this is one of the many recent developments that prove otherwise. Do we need any further proof of gay activists that they will target children as early as possible? Books like Heather Has Two Mommies and King and King instead of King and Queen have been read to second grade children without parental consent. And on and on and on and on we could go. Education. How about not only education as part of the program, how about entertainment? From music to magazines to movies, this has been the best friend to the sodomites since the 1960s. Infamous Hollywood sodomites, closeted or out, include Raymond Burr, Perry Mason, James Dean, Ellen DeGeneres, Cary Grant, Neil Patrick Harris, Doogie Howser. That's who that is, for those of you that remember that show. Rock Hudson, Elton John, Liberace, Anthony Perkins, Robert Reed, who was Mr. Brady on the Brady Bunch. However, its true benefit to the cause of the sodomites has been its ability to change perceptions of what is perceived to be moral or immoral or normal or abnormal. Listen to this. In 1961 to 1970, there was one sodomite character on television. One. 1971 to 1980, 58. 1981 to 1990, 89. 1991 to 2000, 337. 2001 to present, 601 sodomite characters on television. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It matters, young people, what you allow to come in and think is okay. Amen? We ought to think what's okay is what God says is okay. And what God says is not okay, then that's not okay. They use education. They use entertainment. They use endless litigation. The Sodomites realized long ago that their best hope in America for furthering their program of acceptance was through the courts. One does not have to be a calculus professor at an elite university to understand that it's a lot easier to persuade five judges than it is 2 million of your fellow citizens. Amen? And so they proceed with this process of endless litigation. Probably their greatest victories, two of them, June 26, 2003, the United States Supreme Court, case number 02102, Lawrence versus Texas, in a 6-3 decision, reversed Texas's anti-sodomy laws. In his dissent, and I'd like to read a good portion of this, it's important, ladies and gentlemen, Justice Antonin Scalia said the following: "The Texas statute undeniably seeks to further the belief of its citizens that certain forms of sexual behavior are immoral and unacceptable." Amen? That's what Texas had said, had a long-standing history. The same interest furthered by criminal laws against fornication, bigamy, adultery, adult incest, bestiality, and obscenity. The Texas statute, it said, furthers no legitimate state interest which it can justify an intrusion into the personal or private life of the individual. The court embraces instead Justice Stevens' declaration that the fact that the governing majority of the state has traditionally viewed a particular practice as immoral is not a sufficient reason for upholding the law prohibiting its practice. And Justice Scalia said this: "This effectively decrees the end of all morals legislation." The court today pretends that it possesses a similar freedom of action so that we need not fear judicial impositions of homosexual marriage as recently as occurred in Canada. The court says that the present case does not involve whether the government must give formal recognition to any relationship that a homosexual person seek to enter. And then he said this: "Do not believe it. Do not believe it. Today's opinion dismantles the structure of constitutional law that has permitted a distinction to be made between heterosexual and homosexual unions." It's a court victory for them. May 17, 2004, Massachusetts State Supreme Court, Goodrich versus Department of Public Health, 4-3. Forced Massachusetts to recognize, legalize, and legitimize sodomite unions. I was in Massachusetts at that time. Didn't get to vote. Didn't get a vote on it. 4-3. Court fiat. Right after that, and I remember this when it happened, I cut out the article. Attorney Ellis Rubens will be filing a historical lawsuit on behalf of Reverend Nancy Wilson of Metropolitan Community Church, by the way, who was a guest of President Barack Obama on April 6, 2010 at the White House Easter prayer breakfast. And her partner, Paula Schoenweather, formerly a family marriage counselor, who were married in Massachusetts a few weeks ago. This will be the first lawsuit in the nation to be filed on behalf of a gay or lesbian couple to have their legal marriage in Massachusetts recognized by another state. Sodomites in California have brought the Proposition 8 that 7 million voters rejected. They brought it down with one lawsuit. They use education. They use entertainment. They use endless litigation. They further their agenda by enacting legislation. Thankfully, as of yet, this is an area where the Sodomites have not been very successful. Altogether, 31 individual states and the United States of America, through the Defense of Marriage Act, 1996, have restrictions that marriage is supposed to be between one man and one woman. In 2008, when marriage was on the ballot, 2008 was the liberal election. Did you know that marriage, one woman, one man, was on the ballot 11 times? You know how many times it passed? 11 times. 11 times. That means 11 times people said no to the sodomite lifestyle. However, that will change, ladies and gentlemen. It will change. When you have been able to have free reign in a public education system for over two generations and promote the lie that the sodomite lifestyle is normal, then eventually you will have a majority of the population that shares that belief. Currently in Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Washington, D.C., sodomite marriage is allowed. The states of New York, New Jersey, Maryland, and Rhode Island recognize sodomite marriages performed in other jurisdictions. There are currently 4 open sodomites who serve in the United States Congress. Tammy Suzanne Green Baldwin, Democrat, Wisconsin. David Cicilline, Democrat, Rhode Island. Barney Frank, Democrat, Massachusetts. And Jared Polis, Democrat, Colorado. Don't ask, don't tell. The U.S. military's policy has been the latest attack of their endless litigation and their enacting legislation. The presence of the sodomites, the pleas of the sodomites, the program of the sodomites. Number 4, and look at our text, the products of the sodomites. Verse 27, at the end of the verse, it says, "Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was me." I want to tell you the first product of sodomites is disease. Disease. According to the U.S. Census of 2000, there were 2 million sodomite men living in the United States. That is less than 1% of the population. Population at that time was 282 million. So do some simple cross multiplication. Current population is about 307 million, 2,200,000 sodomites currently residing in the United States. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Since the beginning of the epidemic of AIDS, more than 279,000 sodomite men have died of AIDS. And I'll accept these figures. I'd like to give some statistics from the CDC's fact sheet. This is what they hand out to gay men. Sodomite men account for 48% of the total persons living with HIV in the United States. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. A group of people that make up less than 1% make up 48% of the AIDS cases. If I didn't believe the Bible, which I do, amen, that would be enough for me. This lifestyle that you're partaking of, it's a lifestyle of disease. 48%. 53% of all new HIV infections in the United States each year come from sodomites, sodomite men. A sodomite man is 44 times more likely to acquire AIDS than his straight counterpart. Sodomite men are the only risk group in the United States in which new HIV infections are increasing. While new infections have declined among both heterosexuals, injection drug users, the annual number of HIV infections among sodomite men has steadily increased since 1990. Disease, it's a product. Let me give you another product, depression. Sodomite men were more likely than heterosexual males to be diagnosed with at least 1 of 5 mental health disorders. Sodomite men are 6 times more likely to attempt suicide than their straight counterparts. A report from PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbian and Gays. Now see, again, you got to do the research, amen? You can't just look at the sites you want to look at, amen? I looked at this site, and I looked, and I saw the statistic, and I couldn't believe it. It says, states that a study of 5,000 sodomite men and women, 35% of sodomite men and 38% of sodomite women have considered or attempted suicide. Sodomite youth are up to 6 times more likely to attempt suicide than straight teens, and a sodomite teenagers account for over 30% of the nation's teenage suicides. The product of sodomites is disease. It's depression. You know what else it is? It's degradation. Degradation. Degrading. You say, what is that? 2004, again, this is a pro-homosexual study. A group of researchers in the University of Chicago published a study by Edward Lonman. His team of researchers studied the sexual habits of the sodomites in Shoreland, a sodomite center of Chicago. He found this, 42.9% of sodomite men in Shoreland had more than 60 sexual partners. 60. 18% had between 30 and 60 partners. 61% had 30 partners. And 87.8% had more than 15. As a result, 55% of the sodomite men of Shoreland had at least 1 sexually transmitted disease. It's degrading. It's degrading, amen? It's degrading. It's filled with depression and disease. Number four, death. Death. Death is a product of the Sodomites. We mentioned it. 279,000 Sodomite men have died since AIDS came. An epidemiological study from Vancouver, Canada, of the data tabulated between 1987 and 1982 reveals that Sodomite practitioners lost up to 20 years of life expectancy. Presence of the Sodomites, pleas of the Sodomites, program of the Sodomites, product of the Sodomites, path of the Sodomites. Look at your text. And I will be quick, I promise. So much in this message we want to say. The path of the Sodomites is willful blindness. What are they willfully blind to? Number A under that, the unmistakable witness of God. Look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. God has showed them this is wrong, but they're willfully blind. Not only the unmistakable witness of God, but the universal witness of God. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. One does not have to be a nature scholar to understand that sodomite lifestyle is unnatural. Nothing speaks of the promulgation of this lifestyle except for a wicked heart. Willful blindness. Number two, wicked beliefs. Look at verses 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We see their godless imagination. Verses 23 through 25, we see graven images, and we see a downward progression with this thinking. They change the glory of God. Look at verse 23. Into an image made like the corruptible man. They start with man, and then to birds, and then to four-footed beasts, and then creeping things. And then number three, we see wretched behavior. Not only willful blindness, not only wicked beliefs, we see wretched behavior. We see moral perversion in verses 26 and 27. We see mental perversion in verse 28. Look at it. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's the cause. What are the consequences, Pastor? We don't have time, but verse 29, 30, 31, and 32 tell us about the consequences. But I think most telling is the last statement in verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's how far they've come. In the research this week, I couldn't believe some of the things that go on in the Sodomite community. One of them, they refer to it by a particular name. I'll not call it. I don't want folks to get to Googling that. But it's a particular get together that they have, where some men have AIDS and some don't, and they proceed to, have that sodomite lifestyle, to deliberately be infected with AIDS. How sick is that, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you, Proverbs 9:36 says this, they that hate me love death. They that hate me love death. The presence of the Sodomites, the pleas of the Sodomites, the program of the Sodomites, the product of the Sodomites, the path of the Sodomites, and number six, the prescription for the Sodomites. There is a prescription. Repent! Repent! Repent while you still can. That's the prescription. God provided a way of salvation for all sinners. The vilest, the ones that you don't think can be saved. Amen? The worst. And I so appreciate Brother Horsch's message in Sunday school, how the Lord put our two messages together again. And He talked about 1 Corinthians. Let me read you 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And if it just ended there, we'd have to say amen, but I'm glad it doesn't end there. The next verse says this. Praise God for this verse. And such were some of you. Past tense. But ye are washed. Present tense. Ye are sanctified. Present tense. Ye are justified. Present tense. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You know what that tells me? There were some Sodomites in Corinth that got saved. And God turned their life around. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, wherefore, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. This passage gives a very clear indication to those that partake of this lifestyle that eventually you can cross God's dead line. That's a scary thing, ladies and gentlemen, to know. Because three different times it says their foolish heart was darkened. God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God said, okay, you want it? Go ahead. I'm not going to speak to you anymore. And look what happens. It gets worse and worse. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. There is a prescription. Repent. Repent. Sodomites. The path of the Sodomites, the prescription of the Sodomites, the products of the Sodomites, the program of the Sodomites, the pleas of the Sodomites, and the presence of the Sodomites. Again, I pray that we would have the right spirit in the right stand. Our Father, we pray that you would bless this morning.